those who've heard me speak in the past about American literature know that it's not one of my fortes, but there are two pieces that I've quoted constantly. I don't remember whether we've quoted it yet this year, but I've definitely made reference to many, many times. Both pieces are written by the same author. One could arguably say that he is the personification of American literature. That, of course, is Mark Twain. So there are two famous essays. There are many, many famous pieces that Mark Twain wrote. We're not going to discuss neither Tom Sawyer nor Huckleberry Finn today. But there are two essays that really impact upon us that he wrote that I would venture to say really, really should be read. I think it's kedai to read it. I think it will give you a tremendous appreciation into two different aspects of our long, long history. So one of the essays is about the concept of a Jew, where Mark Twain poses the philosophical question that he himself cannot answer as to why the Jews are still here. So all forces of history point against their still being in existence. And he elaborates upon that. And that was only back in the 1800s to elaborate. That was pre-Holocaust when he wrote that, many, many years, decades before the Holocaust was even on the horizon. And he still posed the almost impossible question to answer, why are the Jews still here? And then there's another piece that he wrote, which is more of a description of a trip that he made. He actually made a trip there to Israel back in the mid-1800s. He traveled to what was then known to the world as Palestine. And he went to, unfortunately, tragically, some parts of the world still think that it's called that. But he went to what we, of course, know as Eretz Yisrael. And he describes in fairly graphic detail what Eretz Yisrael looked like. And pretty much it was a Midbar Shemamos, pretty much a desolate area. And he describes in how he traveled for days and days and not see a soul, see a lot of rocks and a lot of desolation, very, very little of anything to speak of. Again, this was back in the mid-1800s at some point. So I always thought that whenever we get to the Pesukim Parshas Nitzavim, the pasuk describes the desolation of Eretz Yisrael. So the final straw is that people are going to come and see what Eretz Yisrael looks like. But the non-Jew is going to come from very, very far away. And he's going to ask, like, what happened? Like, how did this happen? How did the beautiful promised land become so desolate? So I always thought that pasuk was written about Mark Twain. You couldn't be more Eretz Yisrael than from the banks of the Mississippi to come in those days from where he came from, to all the way to Eretz Yisrael, and to wonder about, how did this happen? Amal d'Aretz. So the reason why I think that these two essays are so critical, particularly when we begin to learn Parshas Lech Lecha, because really what these two pieces, and I don't think Mark Twain was mechaven to begin Parshas Lech Lecha, is that it almost speaks to the intertwining of the history of Klal Yisrael as a nation and the history of Eretz Yisrael as a land, which really begin in this week's parasha, because the two Hascholos actually start off very much at the beginning of Parshas Lech Lecha, where Kadosh Baruch Hu comes to Avraham Avinu, appears to Avraham Avinu, and he says to him two things. He says, first of all, you have to go to Eretz Yisrael. So that's the beginning of the Jewish people's relationship to Eretz Yisrael. And number two, he says, V'eschol goy godol, avarachacham, v'gal l'shemecham, v'yabracha, that he's going to be the father of a great nation. That's the beginnings of Klal Yisrael as a nation. So these two notions of Eretz Yisrael and Am Yisrael merging and infusing and working in unison, this is something that, of course, has its roots very, very back at the beginning of Parshas Lech Lecha. So I thought we'd try to take a little bit of time, a little short shiur today, just almost like familiarize ourselves a little bit about, I wouldn't exactly call this a shiur in history. I'd say this is maybe more of a shiur in halakhic history, if you want to say it, just to exactly what happened over the last more than 3,000 years already, well more than 3,000 years, since Klal Yisrael began and Eretz Yisrael began, how we got to where we are today, and what exactly different stages have transpired, both in the world of halacha, shkofa, and history, in terms of our relationship with Eretz Yisrael. So clearly, from the moment that HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises Eretz Yisrael to Avraham Avinu, something already took place. Something already special occurs. We use the term from the Eretz HaNivcheres. It is a land that is already chosen to be the land to be given to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's people. And yet, in terms of in terms of halachas that we usually associate with what's called kedushas haaretz. So obviously kedushas haaretz, in any real halachic sense, was not yet endowed. Eretz Yisrael did not yet have kedushas karka at this stage. Not only because the Torah wasn't given, and therefore there was no mitzvah shmita yet, and there was no chumas and ma'isus and bikurim, any of the above. The reason why Eretz Yisrael didn't have kedushas karka yet was not just a technicality, but because it wasn't niskadsha yet. In order to be mekadesh Eretz Yisrael, to give it, to endow it with kedushas karka for the mitzvah tlius baretz to take effect, you require a mekadesh. There has to be a formal act of kiddush. The same with the marshal, I have an animal, so I can't just stop taking it down and bring it as a carbon. I have to be makdish the animal first. I have to endow kedusha. So there's a concept of taking a davar shel chulin and making it kadosh. It's a kedusha isha. So I take a woman and mekadisha. So there were dinim of kedusha in halacha. So Eretz Yisrael, in order to endow, to become a makam kadosh, they has to have a maisa kiddush as well. What is the maisa kiddush of Eretz Yisrael? So that's what the Gemara explains to us in many places. That's what's called kibush aretz. When Klal Yisrael come in to Eretz Yisrael en masse and they take over and they conquer and they conquer the land, the days of Shevinun, that was the mekadosh of Eretz Yisrael. And that's when the mitzvah of Tluyos Baretz began. And the kibush wasn't complete in one shot. It actually took 7 years to be mekadosh, to be kaivesh. And then it took 7 years to be chaylik. The whole goal of the kibush was in order to divide it up for Klal Yisrael. So basically what the mekadosh of Eretz Yisrael is the Jewish people's conquering and settling in the land. That is the Gemara Kedusha. And then and only then, you start the Shemitah cycle counting, that's when Shumas and Maisus begin, all the bits of Tluyos Baretz kick in. So what exactly was the status of Eretz Yisrael before that? So to say that Eretz Yisrael wasn't special before that, it's very, very hard to believe. Haraya, you have Sukkim throughout Sefer Bereishis that point out to the fact that Eretz Yisrael is a good place, and Eretz Yisrael is where Kedush Baruch wants us to be. Such an extent that even though Avraham Avinu was permitted to leave Eretz Yisrael for a short amount of time in Parshas Lecha, and Yaakov Avinu was permitted to leave Eretz Yisrael for a significantly longer amount of time later on in Vayetzev Yishlach, but Yitzchak was not even permitted to leave Eretz Yisrael even for a short time. Gur Baretz Azels, so that was a special din. Yitzchak Avinu, the carbon, the carbon, oil tamim, or whatever that means, and therefore Ein Yeshivas Chutz La'aretz Kedai Olam. He's not shy to go to Chutz La'aretz. What do you mean to go to Chutz La'aretz? What was the difference between living in Hebron and living in Gerar? Was it living in Hebron, living in Tinek? If it wasn't yet Kaddish B'Kedush Zaharis, what was it? So the answer is obvious, and Chassam Sofer points this out in the Tshuva, that even though Kedush Zaharis vis-a-vis agriculture did not yet take effect, but there was still something special about Eretz Yisrael. When did Eretz Yisrael become special? Or the Bris Mitzvah Psorim, one of those points, one of those pivotal psukim in the beginning of Parshas Lech Lecha, is when Eretz Yisrael was promised to the Yavos, and it became Eretz HaNivcheres, and even though there was no Kedushas Karka, it was still a very, very special place. So that idea that Eretz Yisrael has two components to it, it's the place of the Mitzvah Tluyos Baretz, and it's also the Eretz HaNivcheres, as a unique place, even in the absence of Karbanos. This is something that, even in the absence of a Mitzvah, I'm sorry, this is something that's true even after Matan Torah. That other dimension of Eretz Yisrael as being the Eretz HaNivcheres is true even at the Yemezeh. And even if you have situations that may arise, and we'll see historically, there may have been times throughout the last 3,000 plus years where Eretz Yisrael may have actually lost its Kedushas Karka vis-a-vis agriculture. This Nekuda never lost. The fact that it's Eretz HaNivcheres, this is Li'olam Olam Yolamah. This is something that can never ever be touched. Where does this come from, this idea that there's a second dimension of Eretz Yisrael? What's the nature of that second dimension? So we'll have to put on hold for a little bit to understand what that's all about. Let's go back a little bit back to the world of history. So again, so we have from the moment that Eretz Yisrael is promised to Avraham Avinu, so it's considered to be a special place. Kedushas Karka doesn't kick in. When does Kedushas Karka kick in? When Klal Yisrael entered Eretz Yisrael, the days of Shubinun. So they entered Eretz Yisrael, they conquered Eretz Yisrael, and they kaivish Eretz Yisrael, they chalik Eretz Yisrael. Now it takes on the status of Kedushas Eretz Yisrael vis-a-vis all the mitzvot Tluyos Baretz. Sometimes you have certain parts of the land that are a little bit tricky, whether they become Kaddush, Kedushas Eretz Yisrael or not. So the Sifrei, in the end of Parshas Ekev, tells us that there are certain formal Gvulos Haaretz, the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael, but then there's the ability to add on to those boundaries. You can extend a little bit past the boundary. Pasuk says, Kol HaMakom Shetidu Kafrag Lechem Bo Lechem Nesativ. So the Sifrei Darshan, so this Pasuk, that Eretz Yisrael can expand a little bit, even past the official original borders. And now we'll have Nafkaminas Ladina in terms of Kedushas Haaretz. The only thing is, the Sifrei says, you could extend Eretz Yisrael. That's once you conquer Eretz Yisrael proper. You have to first stop in the Kaddish Ikud. You can't go for the afterwards. You can't go for the dessert until you finish it in the main course. So first you have to conquer all of Eretz Yisrael, whatever the halachic boundaries are. And then afterwards, if you go past that point, then it's also this Kaddish Kedush Eretz Yisrael. Sifrei says, if you go out of order and you first conquer the part that's not Eretz Yisrael proper, then that din doesn't apply. Then it does not become Kaddish Kedush Eretz Yisrael. That's what the Sifrei says. That's what went wrong in the days of David HaMelech. The Gemara, in the beginning of Masechet Gittin, speaks about what's called Kibush Yachid. There are whole parts of the Middle East that David HaMelech conquered that were very unclear what their status was. The whole area of Syria, the whole area that Chazal speak about in so many different sugyas. But the Gemara coined the phrase Kibush Yachid. It was a private kibush. What made it a private kibush? David HaMelech was the king. What made it a private kibush? So Tosfos claims that what private kibush means is that it wasn't done in the proper order. It wasn't done al shem Klal Yisrael, because Klal Yisrael weren't justified in doing it. If David HaMelech would have first conquered all of Eretz Yisrael, including Yerushalayim, which you might say he hadn't even conquered Yerushalayim yet. So that's what the Gemara, that's what the Sifrei says. Karv lepalto and shachotlo kavashta. Across the street from your own palace, you haven't finished conquering yet. The Yebusim are still hanging out in Yerushalayim, and you're waging wars in Damascus. So the Sifrei says, and Tyson Gittin quotes, therefore this whole area was not miskadish properly because it wasn't done keseder hadvar properly. So you find this very, very strange thing that some, now in the middle of Eretz Rishon, you have some parts of Eretz Yisrael that are niskachu lagamri. Rub the Rub Eretz Yisrael is niskachu lagamri. You have some parts that were not yet nichbashu v'nechlechu yet, like the middle of Yerushalayim for a certain time, but not even nechbash yet. So it didn't have kedushas Eretz Yisrael. Then you had all these other funny parts that shouldn't have really been Eretz Yisrael. They could have been Eretz Yisrael if they would have been conquered properly, but the Maaseh they weren't. So that's what the Gemara says, that these funny areas are treated like Eretz Yisrael Medirabonim. It's a whole new thing. It's not a Kedush Arts Derais, it's a Kedush Arts Medirabonim. Then Afkamina's Ladina, we'll see some very important potential Afkamina's Ladina from this concept that there's a Kedush Arts Yisrael Derais, Kedush Arts Yisrael Medirabonim. So this is what Jewish history read for X amount of hundreds of years. The days of Yeshua Benun, through the days of David, through the days of Shlomo, through the Malch Yehuda, Malch Yisrael, and then everything came to a crashing halt at two different stages. So the first stage that came to a crashing halt was when the goals of Aseres HaShvatim took place. In the days of Sancheiros, this is well before the Churban, there was a tremendous upheaval in Klal Yisrael, and Rome of the Jews was thrown out of Eretz Yisrael. The whole northern part of Eretz Yisrael was decimated. So how did that impact upon Kedushas Haaretz? So the Gemara here has the following interesting statement. The Gemara says that once there was Golos of the Aseres HaShvatim, so there was a certain dimension of Eretz Yisrael that went away as well. And that's what's called, it wasn't Kol Yosheveha Aleha. As we've been saying, the theme of the whole Shiur is that the history of Eretz Yisrael and Klal Yisrael intertwined. Here, once you have a situation where you don't have all the Jewish people in Eretz Yisrael, you have a smattering of the Jewish people. You have a couple of Shvatim still left in the south. Huda ben Yamin is still okay. And you probably had a few Jews here and there from the Aseres HaShvatim mixed in also, and you had probably a few people left around. But you didn't have Reuven, Reuven, God, Ephraim, Menashe, Dan, Naphtali, Zul, everyone in the right place, everyone in the, Ish Tachas, Tenas, Tachas, Gafno. It wasn't the way it was supposed to be. So that's what the Gemara says. That falls into a new category that's called, we have Eretz Yisrael, we have Kedushas Eretz Yisrael, but we don't have Kol Yosheveha Aleha. What is impacted by the lack of Kol Yosheveha Aleha? So one thing is impacted, and that's Yovel. Because the Torah describes in Parshas Behar that in order to have Yovel, not only do you need Jews in Eretz Yisrael, you need Kol Yosheveha Aleha in Eretz Yisrael. We'll cross them through our earth, Kol Yosheveha. It's the Pasuk of Liberty Bell, shall proclaim liberty throughout the land to all the inhabitants thereof. That Pasuk is known two famous places in American history. What's known as the Pasuk of the Liberty Bell, what's the other place? Hadlof of those, history of motion pictures. It's the last line of what great movie? Stalter, come on, you gotta remember that. The end of the Ten Commandments. You shouldn't watch the movie anyway. When I was a kid, I watched the movie. It's not a good movie to watch. But if and when you ever saw it, so in the very, very last scene, so Charles Heston, playing Moshe Rabbeinu, gets up. He's 120 years old. He's standing looking over the promised land. He puts his hands up and he declares, "You shall proclaim liberty throughout the land unto all inhabitants thereof." And then the curtain comes down and then the movie ends. It's mamish nonsense. Mamish sheer amaratzus. He said, what should have happened was, they want to put it, so it should have been, those are the last words of Moshe Rabbeinu. Well, the pasuk in Parshas Bahar, what does that have to do with anything? The answer is, it was an agenda they wanted to show, you know, whatever. It's not enough of liberty and justice and goodwill, and American dream for all, and Superman, or whatever. It's a whole line. So they took that and stuck that into Moshe Rabbeinu. But that pasuk does appropriately apply in the Liberty Bell. It's supposed to ring the liberty for all. So truth, justice in the American way. So, across the number, it's the Chalir Shvel, Havdal of Havdalis. So the Gemara tells us in Maseches Erechin that in the absence of that phrase of the Chodesh Ve'Aleh is going to impact on the din of Yovel. There's no Yovel. What does that have to do with me? So now there was a big Machlokes HaTorah, big huge Machlokes HaTorah, which is a burning issue until this very day, one of the hottest issues in Eretz Yisrael. And that is when the Gemara says that we have a tradition that Yovel depends upon Chodesh Ve'Aleh, the entire Jewish people being in Eretz Yisrael together. What about Shvita? Do Shemitah and Yovel go hand in hand? That was a machlokes Rebbe and the Rabbanan. So Rebbe's opinion was that Shemitah and Yovel go hand in hand. And whenever Yovel doesn't apply, then Shemitah doesn't apply. And therefore Rebbe concluded that Shemitah b'zman hazeh is only mid Rabbanan. And it's only mid Rabbanan. Wow, that's an amazing kula. That's a gavalga kula. That can open up the world for a lot of things. That can open up the world for things that we call Heta Mechiras, and we'll talk about them at a later point in time. That can open up the world for Shemitah Ksofim, maybe not applying. That can open up the world for a lot of potential nafkaminas if you take that approach, that Shemitah depends upon Yovel, and Yovel depends upon Klal Yisrael. And the other Tanurim said it's not true. Shemitah doesn't depend on Yovel. You can have Shemitah independently of having a Yovel. How do we pass it? It's Machlekes Rishonim. Most of the Rishonim probably pass it, the two are dependent, Zebazet. So our world of Hilcha Shemitah today is most probably only midirabanan. According to most Rishonim, it's only midirabanan. What made it derabanan is Shemitah's dependence upon Yovel. What made Yovel non-existent b'zman hazeh is the fact that it depends upon Klal Yisrael, and there's something chas in Klal Yisrael. So you see, once again, Klal Yisrael are critical. That the history and the destiny of Eretz Yisrael very, very much depends upon the existence of the Jewish people. So Klal Yisrael played the major role of being Mekadesh Eretz Yisrael, Bimei Yeshua Ben Nun, until Yeshua Ben Nun's days. Even though you had great people, obviously Yaakov living there, but they weren't Klal Yisrael yet, and therefore Kedushas Haaretz didn't kick in. And even after Klal Yisrael lived there, once they started to leave Eretz Yisrael in these great numbers, that's going to impact the blind Kedushas Haaretz. But then the next major event that happens in the history both of Klal Yisrael and the history of Eretz Yisrael is, of course, Churban Bais Rishon. So when the Beis Hamikdash is destroyed, so then the Gemara raises a whole other question. Maybe not only does this impact on Shemitah and Yovel, maybe both the Kedushas Haaretz lagamrei. Maybe the entire Kedushas Haaretz was hinging upon Klal Yisrael being there. Because remember, it was the days of Yeshua Ben Nun that the Kedusha was endowed. So easy come, easy go. So if Klal Yisrael created the Kedusha, maybe Klal Yisrael's absence can, in a sense, be mevatel Kedusha. The idea of being mevatel Kedusha is not a foreign concept. We have that. You have Kedusha, you have Gerushin. So you can undo Kedusha of Eishes Ish. Well, you have Hekdesh, you Makdesh something, and then you played it. So there is a concept in Halacha of having a Kedush that's not here forever. So maybe Kedush there is all such that depends upon the existence of Klal Yisrael there, and the minute that they're thrown out, so the whole Kedush unravels. So the Gemara quotes a Machlekes HaTorah about that. So one Tana Taka says that, but the Kedush there is. The other Tana says, no, the Kedush there is all here forever. Kitchel, Shait, the Kitchel, Yasin, Love. How do we pass in Halacha that Machlekes? So it would appear that we pass in the Kedush Rishon was Betela. That the Kedusha that was endowed in the days of Yeshua, Taka disappeared in the days of Nebuchadnezzar, when Eretz Yisrael was destroyed. Therefore, any mitzvahs at Luis Baretz that may have been observed after the destruction of the first place of Mikdash sound like they were only midirabanan. But now, all of a sudden, everything changes again. Why? Because Klal Yisrael returns back to Eretz Yisrael. Now again, you have to understand historically, it wasn't exactly on par with the first coming to Eretz Yisrael. The first coming to Eretz Yisrael was what we call Bias Kulchem. The whole Jewish people came. Everyone came in the same days of Yeshua Ben Nun together. The days of Aisheni was the Kashi 40,000 or something. So when Ezra described, it was a handful of Jews who came back in Aisheni. Most of the Jews who remained behind in Babel. So now you have a strange thing. Now you have a return, Shivat Zion. People are coming back to build the second base of Mikdash. They're coming to resettle the land. But it's not quite the same kind of resettling as was in the days of Yeshua Ben Nun. It's a much, 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 much watered down resettling. And even from a political vantage point, it's lagamrei different. The Jews that came back in Beis Sheni, they weren't even autonomous. They weren't even independent. During the entire period of Beis Sheni, the Jews were in control of Eretz Yisrael for a very, very short amount of time during the span of the kings of the Hashmonaim. It was a very, very small period of time in the greater scheme of things. At the beginning, they were under the Persians, and then they were under the Greeks, and later they were under the Romans. So they were always under foreign rule. So yes, there was a Beis HaMikdash, and yes, there were Jews living there to some degree, but it was not the glory of Beis Rishon, any stretch of imagination. So now the question becomes, when Beis Sheni began, and the Jews of Ezra's days now come back to Eretz Yisrael, so now what happens to Gezaret, assuming that it disappeared in the first time around, does it get rekindled again? So that's what's called Kedusha Shnia. So the Rambam has a fascinating sheet at the beginning of Hilchos Truma. So the Rambam writes that yes, it does become rekindled. Kedusha Shnia does begin again, and therefore Kedusha's Karka exists. But the Rambam says there are a few of the mitzvah tluyim ba'aretz that don't get off the ground. No pun intended. That was a bad joke, a bad pun, but they don't get off the ground for that one. I did not mean that. That tluyim ba'aretz, in case you didn't catch the bad pun, that was a bad one. So says the Rambam that the mitzvah tluyim ba'aretz don't all begin because it's not enough just to have kedushas karga. You have to have something else as well. What else do you have to have? So the Rambam writes you have to have what's called bias kulchem. You have to have Jews coming back to Eretz Yisrael, not just a handful, a couple of thousand, 40,000 Jews coming back. You have to have en masse Jews coming back. You have to have a rova klai, so you have to have a whole movement to come back. Then and only then do the mitzvah tluyim ba'aretz kick in. How did the Rambam know that? Where did the Rambam get this from? So the simple pshat in the Gemara is that this is derived from challah. By Hafreshes challah, the Torah says, "Bevoachem al haaretz." The Gemara's drasha vias kulchem, and the Rambam seems to say that that din carries over to Chumas and Tamaisus also. Why the Chumas should not be is a loaded sugya in Maseches Ksubas. But the Rambam, given his true esteem, seems to take that approach that even though Kedushas Karka there is, but Trumas and Maestras are not the Araisa because of some technical reason. So it comes out a very, very strange thing according to Shittas Rambam. If I stop and ask you, according to the Rambam, in the days of Baisha, the days of Ezra, in the days of the Cheshbonim, the days of the early Tanoim, the days of Baishani, was there a full-fledged Kedushas Karka of Eretz Yisrael? What's the answer? Absolutely. Via Shnia, as a Makadesh, full fleshed Kedushaskarka. Is there Shemitah, Minatora? What's the answer? Not really, because we're still lacking what? We still don't have Kodesh Vela back from pre Korban Bais Rishon. Is there Trumas Minatora? No, because Truma requires Bias Kulchem. Is there Maisos Minatora? No, Maisos also requires Bias Kulchem. So what is there, Isaac? What? So you have to scrounge around and find, like a Chichon Peah. You gotta look around and find the mitzvah here and there, a handful of mitzvahs. That are still no hagas but the raisa according to Shittas Rambam. So again, according to the Rambam, Klal Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael, Amamish go hand in hand. They go so hand in hand that it's inconceivable to have the in its fullest expression of mitzvot tluyim ba'aretz, kedushas karka of agriculture. It's there, it's present, but it's not yet mekach lapoyel. It's not expressing itself in the regular ways. There's no yevon, no shmita, no trumas and maaseres. Because Klal Yisrael just aren't there, just not up to par in terms of the existence of Klal Yisrael. But other Rishonim, such as the Rabbis, say that's b'chol not true. That there is no such thing that Bias Kulchem doesn't exist in the realm of Trumas and Maaseres. The only question is there Kedushas Karka? If there is Kedushas Karka, then in Achanav, there's Trumas and Maaseres there, right? So this raging Machlekes Ram and the Rabbis was true during the days of Beis Sheni. I mean, neither the Ram and the Rabbis lived during Beis Sheni, but this question that the Ram and the Rabbis are fighting about 1,000 years later was a potentially hot button issue in the days of Beis Sheni. But then everything comes to a screeching halt at the Churban. Come the Romans and destroy the Beis HaMikdash, and by doing so, basically, they destroy Eretz Yisrael, and the Jews are scattered, and again, it takes a little bit of time until most of the Jews are thrown out of Eretz Yisrael, but the Churban was already the turning point that's considered to be the beginning of the Golos of Beis Sheni. And now the question is, what happens? So according to the Rambam, we had Kedushas Karka beforehand. We didn't have a couple of mitzvot tluyim ba'aretz for technical grounds, but we had Kedushas Karka. According to the Ravid, we had Kedushas Karka with the mitzvot tluyim ba'aretz. So now what happens at the next stage, at the next point? We come to Churban Beis Sheni, what happens? So Parshas HaDvarim is that whatever happened back in Beis Rishon happens in Beis Sheni. The same way back in Beis Rishon we said that once there was a Churban, so since Klal Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael were so intertwined together, once Eretz Yisrael becomes, in a sense, desolate of Klal Yisrael, so Memela, everything falls apart. The whole thing unwinds. That's like a get. The same way the get of Mafkia Kedusha, of Kedushin, and Peter is Mafkia, the Kedusha of Hekdesh. So the absence of Klal Yisrael is the Mavatl of the Kedusha. So that's what I would have said. Once Churban Beis Sheni comes, the same way Churban Beis Rishon unraveled Kedushas Beis Rishon, so to Churban Beis Sheni should unravel the Kedusha of Kedusha Shni of Ezra. So that's what the Rabbeinu Baruch says. Rabbeinu Baruch was one of the Bali Atreses. He was a Talmud of the Ri. He wrote the Sefer Truma. So in the Sefer Truma, Rabbeinu Baruch takes that approach. And he says in Rechinami that Kedusha Shniyah was the Spatla, and it has not yet been come back to life. That's what this man that Rabbeinu Baruch was writing in the Middle Ages. The same is true now. So we're living in a time when we don't have another Beis HaMikdash. We don't have the full-fledged Kedusha Eretz Yisrael again. Chai Yisrael has not yet taken over Eretz Yisrael en masse. At least this is what Rabbeinu Baruch is describing. How that plays out today is a little bit of a different twist. But at least the way Rabbeinu Baruch was describing the Middle Ages. And therefore, just as Kedusha Rishon was Betela in the days of Nebuchadnezzar, but Kedusha Shni was Betela in the days of the Romans, and therefore there's no Kedusha Sakar today in Eretz Yisrael. It doesn't mean you don't have to separate Tumas HaMaisis. You still have to separate it with the Rabbanim. It doesn't mean you don't have to observe Shemitah. You still have to observe it with the Rabbanim. It doesn't mean that Eretz Yisrael is not a special place. Because remember, Eretz Yisrael's specialty existed even in the days of the Yavos, way before there was a Kedushas Karak in the first place. So Kedushas Karak L'chud, the uniqueness and specialty and wonderful qualities and traits of Eretz Yisrael L'chud. But in terms of the pure Kedushas Karak, it is so linked to the existence of Klal Yisrael that if Mark Twain's essay about the Jews, if the Jews aren't here, then the Eretz Yisrael isn't here in effect either. You can't have one without the other. That's the view of Rabbeinu Baruch. So the Rambam takes issue with that. The Rambam writes, Chiddush Hinuchos Truma, so the Rambam writes that even though he concedes that the days of Nebuchadnezzar, when Beis Rishon occurred, Beis Rishon was destroyed, that was a mevatel of Kedushas Eretz Yisrael, he doesn't think the same is true when it comes to Beis Sheni. When it comes to Kedusha Shni of Ezra, Kedusha Shni of Ezra is Kayemes the Olam Olam Olam. It's here forever and ever and ever and ever. Kedusha Shni Olam Otla. Why is that? So the Rambam gives you some kind of an explanation why, some kind of a quasi halachic historic hashkafic explanation why, that Kedusha Yoshua was accomplished through kibush, through military conquest. Easy come, easy go. When the Jewish tanks and planes were no longer running the show, so in the middle, the Kedusha disappeared. Kedusha Shniyah came about through Chazakah. There was never a military conquest. The Jews never conquered Israel in the days of Koresh. Those were learning Daf Yomi. So whoever Koresh was, whatever his multiple names were, whichever Koresh we're talking about. So Lemaisa, the Jews never conquered it in the days. Again, the Koshi, they conquered part of Israel later in the days of the Cheshmanoim. But that's not what we're talking about. So comes the Rambam and writes that since Kedusha Shniyah was never dependent upon military victory anyway, so the Kedusha remains, even in the absence of military control, because it's thought of that military control. So the Rambam has a very, very strange thing. The Rambam was the biggest, almost undermining of Mitzvot Luz Ma'aretz back in the days of Beis Sheni. But now the Rambam turns around and says, well, by the way, B'zman Hazeh, we're exactly the way we were like the days of Ezra. The Rambam says, today is no different than the days of Ezra. There is full-fledged, 1,000% Kedusha Ma'aretz vis-a-vis Allah agricultural mitzvahs, except for those mitzvahs, which are quirks and exceptions that they don't apply. So true mitzvah, shemitah, yovel, tzedek, none of those apply to b'zman hazeh min ha'Torah. But the kedushas aretz be'atz musa is the end full force.
How do we get back in Barashini then?
What do we have to go?
If it wasn't through Mohammed,
So there's another kedusha called kedusha yechazaka. Just the fact that Klai Yisrael are living there, that itself is a mekadesh. So you're wondering the obvious question. The same way that kibush disappears because we're not conquering it, why does the chazaka disappear? We don't live there anymore. That's a good question. I think about that question for a long time. So this is the Shita of Rambam. So again, so you have Rabbeinu Baruch who knocked out all Kedushas Haaretz b'zman hazeh, midaraisa, and then you have the Rambam saying, no, Kedushas Haaretz is here, it's in full force, it's just, there are a couple of mitzvahs here and there that don't apply b'nei Torah the same way, but they didn't apply b'nei Torah in the days of Ezra either. So up until now, we've been talking about Kedushas Haaretz Yisrael in terms of the land, in terms of Kedushas HaMitzvahs, but we keep on going back to this Nakuda that there's some other dimension, some other aspect of Eretz Yisrael that's present. There is something in between the lines here, something that existed back in the days of the Avos, something that existed even in the days of the Churban, something that exists even with B'zman Hazeh, no matter whether you hold like Rabbeinu Baruch, you hold like the Rami, you hold like the Rebbein. There's something else going on here. And the question is, what is that something else? What is that other uniqueness of Eretz Yisrael? So the Ramban, in the beginning of Maseches Gittin, has a comment where Taitzus has a big, big problem beginning with Maseches Gittin. There's a very famous Taitzus in Abayim that says Gittin tries to figure out what the Gvulos Haaretz are vis-a-vis Hilchos Gittin. There's a special din in Hilchos Gittin when a Shaliach brings a get from Chutzpah, he has to say B'fari Nechem, B'fari Nechtam. So the first Mishnah Gittin tries to explain to you what where Eretz Yisrael is, where it's not, where the Gvulos Haaretz. So Tosfos points out that there seem to be stevers in Chazal as to exactly certain parts of Eretz Yisrael, or the inner Yisrael, outside of Eretz Yisrael. So Tosfos tries very, very hard to miyashiv all the sugyas of the Ramban, and that sugya develops another yisayid and says, the reason why we find certain discrepancies about certain places is because it depends which area of Allah you're talking about. When you're talking about Kedushas Ha'aretz vis-a-vis Mitzvot Lo'is Ba'aretz, there's a certain standard. And when you talk about other halachas, the standard is a little bit different. What's the other halachas? So the Ramban, and then the Rabbeinu Kreskes, and the place the Ridvan Gittin, use the phrase Chibas Ha'aretz. It's Kedushas Ha'aretz and it's Chibas Ha'aretz. The love of Eretz Yisrael, the place of Eretz Yisrael, Eretz Tzadiv Cheres, Eretz Sh'ein Yashem Lekech Abba, all those dimensions of somehow the uniqueness of Eretz Yisrael, nothing to do with the dirt and the soil, those have different boundaries, different gvulas. It's a different parasha, a different sugya. But what exactly does that mean? Where does, it's a very esoteric, almost like a not halachic concept, chibas ha'aretz. What exactly do those words mean? So there's a Mishnah in Maseches Kelim, the beginning of Maseches Kelim, where the Mishnah begins to talk about the different degrees of Tumah, and then in the opposite realm, it talks about different degrees of Kedusha. This Mishnah has nothing to do with Maseches Kelim, it's just kind of stuck in there. It says, Esa Kedusha saying, there are 10 geographical mechaimis of sanctity, of holiness in the world, and depending on how close you are to the Kedusha Kedushim, it's going to be more and more and more Aliyah be Kedusha. So the Mishnah describes this Kedusha Kedushim, and this Heichal, and then Ullah Mizbech, and then the Azar, and Harabayas, Yushalayim, and then the Mishnah not only says that each place is slightly different in Kedusha, the Mishnah actually delineates what are the halachos that emanate from that. Kedusha is a very esoteric thing to say, I'm holy, you're holy, he's holy. Kedusha has to express itself in some way. So the Marshall, you have like Kedusha's Manim. There are degrees of Kedusha. Malim and Kedush, the Kedush. Yadav and Shabbos are not the same. They're both Kedush, but they're dargas of Kedusha. How do I know that? Because there are things in Shabbos, there are mitzvahs that are nohokas in Shabbos, and not nohokas in Yontif. You're not allowed to do malach in Shabbos. On Yontif, you're allowed to cook, you're allowed to carry. So there are certain malachas that only apply to Shabbos, don't apply to Yontif, that highlights the fact that Shabbos is a more Kedush Zman. But to the Marshall, is there a difference of Kedusha Sayyidim between the first day Pesach and Shmini Atzeres? Same Kedusha, Harai, all of them are the same. Well, let's say Rosh Hashanah. So Rosh Hashanah is a very special time and an awesome time. A lot of other things going on in Shemayim. But in terms of Kedusha Sayyim, there's not an iota of difference between Kedusha Sayyim of Rosh Hashanah and Kedusha's first day of Sukkot, of Kedusha's Shavuos. It's the same Issur Kum Lach Tavei L'Sa'as, so there are no dinim, there are no differences. So when you have Kedushas, you have to always focus on practical differences. So the Mashal, Kedushas of a Gavra. So Klai Yisrael have certain Kedusha to them. A Kohen has more level of Kedusha. How does that express itself? There are things a Kohen can do that Israel can do. A Kohen Gadol has more Kedusha. There are things a Kohen Gadol can't do that a regular Kohen can do. So when the Mishnah speaks about the Esa Kedusha, so the Mishnah is quick to point out that there are practical differences between them. So there are things that you're allowed to do in Yerushalayim that you're not allowed to do in the Azar. The things you're allowed to do in the Azar, you're not allowed to do in the Heichal. Gahed v'chayinu. So when the Mishnah lists off the Esa Kedushas, the last one, the bottom of the list of the Makom Kadosh, is Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael is B'kudeshes B'sha'a Ha'aratzos. That's how the Mishnah concludes. How does that Kedusha express itself? So if I was writing the Mishnah, I would have said, how do I know that Eretz Yisrael is different than Tina? What's the difference? In Eretz Yisrael, there's the mitzvah of Shemitah, there's the mitzvah of Trumas and Maisos. In Tina, there's no Shemitah, there's no Trumas and Maisos. That's what I would have written. But Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi wrote the Mishnah, so he was entitled to his opinion, and he wrote something a little bit differently. Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi writes that Eretz Yisrael is B'kudeshes B'sha'a Ha'aratzos because the mitzvah of Omer and Shtei Alechem, those special kabbalas of Pesach and Shavuos, are brought from grain that grows in Eretz Yisrael, and you can't bring it from grain that grows in Kansas. You can't bring in grain that grows in Ukraine. You have to bring a dafka from grain that grows in Eretz Yisrael. That's how Eretz Yisrael is more Mekudosh than Mekudosh than the rest of the world. So it's really a Pella. The din is true, but this is not like the number one. If I had to guess, you name your number one difference in Eretz Yisrael and Tinek, I wouldn't say Omer Shtei Alechem. So what is Rabbi Nasi driving it? So Mefarshim explained that Rabbi Nasi is driving it as follows. The point of the Mishnah is to highlight that there are 10 Kedushas HaMikdash in this world. We usually think of the base of Mikdash as having a very, very specific place. Base of Mikdash is, where exactly is the outermost part of the base of Mikdash? The Azara, the Harabayas, the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Heichal. So the answer is that there are multiple boundaries of base of Mikdash. Base of Mikdash begins Kodesh HaKadoshim, that's the holiest part, and then it has one periphery of Kodesh HaKadoshim, and then there's Heichal, and then there's Ben Ulam Mizbeach, and then there's Azara, and then there's Harabayas. And then there's Yerushalayim. So there are different degrees of Kedushas HaMikdash. And the very last boundary, the absolute furthest boundary of Kiddush Samikdash is Eretz Yisrael. Once you leave Eretz Yisrael, so then you're no longer in any area whatsoever, there's any mashu, even a remnant of Kiddush Samikdash anymore. So the goal of the Mishnah is to highlight Mikdash Dikadidim, not just to highlight Karka Dikadidim, but to highlight Mikdash Dikadidim. So therefore, if I can show you that there are certain kavanos that can only be brought from something that starts in Eretz Yisrael, oh, that highlights the Kiddush Samikdash Shabbat. So that's what the Mishnah said. I'm not going to be arrived from Shemitah from the Mikdash. What is Shemitah from the Mikdash? She'ein Mevi'en Michutz Laretz, Oim Yishli Alechem, Zetin Fendoy. You see from here that Eretz Yisrael is the Adkan V'lo Yaiser. Outside of Eretz Yisrael, Kiddush Samikdash ceases to exist. So you see from this Mishnah that Eretz Yisrael has really two different aspects to it. It has the aspect of Karka, and it has the aspect of Mikdash to it. What's meant Mikdash? Mikdash is, that's what we're going to see in next week's parasha. Asher yameh hayam ha'ar Hashem yirayah. Mikdash is always synonymous with Ashras Hashchina. Mikdash is synonymous with the Beis Hashem. Place where Kadosh Baruch Hu's presence is clearer. When we say that Eretz Yisrael has a ged of Kadosh Mikdash, what that probably is referring to is what the Torah describes in Parashas Ekev. Eretz Hashem Hashem Elkecha Bo Mereish Hashanah Mirach Hashanah. That Kadosh Baruch Hu is Mashra Shechinasa in Eretz Yisrael, in a way and in a manner that doesn't appear outside of Eretz Yisrael. It doesn't mean that Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't watch us in Chutz Lo'Arz. It doesn't mean that Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't care about Chutz Lo'Arz. It doesn't mean that. But the degree of Ashras Hashchina that's present in Eretz Yisrael is not present in the rest of the world. And that's an expression of Mikdash. That's an extension of Mikdash. So if you put this whole picture of the puzzle together, what seems to emanate from this is that they're really almost like two different players of Eretz Yisrael. There's really two different parts of Eretz Yisrael. There's Eretz Yisrael as an extension of Klal Yisrael. There's an Eretz Yisrael that's linked to Jewish history. There's an Eretz Yisrael of Karka that's Karka. We live in this world. Eretz Yisrael of Adam. So there's an Eretz Yisrael that speaks to the mud and the dirt and the soil of Eretz Yisrael. That aspect of Eretz Yisrael is very much linked into Jewish people. That's hinged upon Klal Yisrael. Therefore, that waxes and wanes. And there are periods that Kufas in Jewish history where that Kedusha is expressed, and there are times that are in our history when that Kedusha is not expressed. So in the days of the Avos, that Kedusha wasn't really there because the Klal Yisrael weren't really there, didn't really exist in any real sense, in any real form yet. That Kedusha didn't exist even after Matan Torah because Klal Yisrael weren't there in Israel. If the Yeshua ben Nun conquers Eretz Yisrael, that's the Mekadosh. It's the Klal Yisrael's existence as the power that conquers and occupies Eretz Yisrael. That's the Mekadosh of Eretz Yisrael. And that lasts until Klal Yisrael ceased to be that power in charge of Eretz Yisrael. Then it goes down. And then maybe it comes back again. And now it becomes tricky. Does it fully come back? Does it not fully come back? Some Rishonim say it does come back. The Rambam says it comes back partially, with every some halachas like every others. Comes by Sheni, and it may disappear entirely. And now we're sitting and waiting, trying to figure out how is this all going to play out? What's the final scene of this show going to, the drama going to be? So that part of Kedushas Eretz Yisrael, from the ground up, that is very, very much dependent upon the Jewish people. But then there's another dimension of Eretz Yisrael that doesn't really depend by Klal Yisrael. Actually, it's linked to Klal Yisrael. That is the realm of Kadosh Baruch Hu. Kadosh Baruch Hu is the Mekadosh of Eretz Yisrael. The same way Kadosh Baruch Hu is the Mekadosh of Mikdosh. And that aspect is healed all over Mimelam. Nothing can ever touch that. It's like Lamashal Matabedem. The Rambam highlights this in Uchaz Beis Bechira, where the Rambam writes that even though Kedusha Rishayin of Eretz Yisrael was Betela, Kedusha of Mikdosh was never Bota. Therefore, if a person is Tomei, goes up to Mekadosh Mikdosh, he's still Chayav, and Makrivin Abishim Bayis, all famous Rambam Uchaz Beis Bechira. Because any Kedusha that comes from a Kadosh Baruch Hu can never be changed. Klal Yisrael can come and go, but a Kadosh Baruch Hu's Kedushas are here forever and ever and ever. It's almost like Lamashal, Lamadav Adayimah, we said that there are similarities between Kedusha Zman and Kedusha Zman. Kedusha Shabbos is an expression of a Kadosh Baruch Hu's Kedusha. Shabbos is Kaviyah V'Kaimah, whereas Yom Tov depends on the Jewish people. And therefore, the Rabbi himself writes that Imtum Tzolayimah, you would have a situation where there's no Beis Din and no Klal Yisrael on Eretz Yisrael, and you don't have the mechanism of observing Rosh Chodesh, so there would be no Yom Tov. I mean, we hope it's not going to happen. And the Ram says we have an assurance of Kadosh Baruch Hu is never going to happen. But in theory, it could happen. There's nothing intrinsically wrong in theory of saying you could have a year without a Pesach. If there's no Klal Yisrael, there's no mechanism to declare Rosh Chodesh Nisan, so there won't be a Pesach. Shabbos is impossible because the Kadosh Baruch Hu was already Mekesha. Kadosh Baruch Hu is never Batel. The Shechina is never Betela. So Kedusha Shabbos can never be Betela. So here you have within Eretz Yisrael, you have almost this dual quality. That you have Eretz Yisrael as being special because it's the land of Klal Yisrael, and you have Eretz Yisrael being special because it's the land of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So there have been times in history when these two dimensions have been separated and been distinct from one another. So we hope and pray that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should guide the Jewish people through history, that we met Hashem, we should reach the point where both of these Kedushas intertwine again in the fullest glory. So we have a big schus in our day to begin to see the beginnings of something. We're not sure exactly what we're seeing. We're not sure how to interpret it, totally what's going on. But we hope and pray that these should all be signs, all simanim of a greater day to come to soon, Mitzvah Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bring Klal Yisrael back in its entirety to Eretz Yisrael and bring Nashua Sashchinah back and Malchut Mikdash back, and we'll be able to see Eretz Yisrael in the full glory that it was meant to be back at the beginning of Pashat Lech Lecha. So Mark Twain was onto something. When he wrote these two essays, he realized that Eretz Yisrael, Klal Yisrael, there's some connection between the two. I don't think he had all the Marukamis. I don't think he understood all of this. But, Chacham Ogram Tamin. So sitting on the Mississippi, he also came with a good Kiddush once in a while. So hopefully we gave a little bit of clarity as to what some of the forces that were unleashed in the history of the beginning of Pashta. Kermit Shem Tamah, Sunday, Mitzvah Shem. We really want to get started on the next sugya. So guys, get rolling in the Marukamis. And hopefully it's your